Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you here today. Let's stand and grab a hymn book and turn to page 216, please. 216, Dwelling in Beulah Land. We'll sing this kind of peppy. Here we go. Far away the noise of strife upon the ear is falling. Then I know the sins of earth beset on every hand. Doubt and fear and things of earth in vain to me are calling. None of these shall move me from Beulah Land. I'm living on the mountain underneath the cloudless sky. I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply, for I am dwelling in Beulah Land. Amen. Let's sing the second and then the last. On the second. Far below the storm of doubt upon the world is beating. Sons of men in battle long the enemy withstand. Safe am I within the castle of God's word retreating. Nothing then can reach me, 'tis Beulah Land. I'm living on the mountain underneath the cloudless sky. Praise God! I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply, for I am dwelling in Beulah Land. Viewing here the works of God, I sink in contemplation. Hearing now His blessed voice, I see the way He planned. Dwelling in the Spirit here, I learn of full salvation. Gladly will I tarry in Beulah Land. I'm living on the mountain underneath a cloudless sky. Praise God! I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply, for I am dwelling in Beulah Land. Amen.
Amen. Well, we're dwelling in Beulah Land, and we're here today to recognize and rejoice in godly mothers. Happy Mother's Day, ladies, and we appreciate you. Thank the Lord for you and rejoice in God's blessings to us through our dear mothers. Well, we'll talk more about that as we go on through the morning. It's good to be here with each of you. Trust God will meet with us in a special way, a unique way, and praying it'll be in a powerful way as He be pleased to work in hearts and lives. Well, I see some visitors in our midst, and we're sure thankful that the Lord has brought you our way. Trust that, indeed, God will be pleased to bless in tremendous, tremendous ways as we are here today, not for our sake, but of course for His and His glory. Let's take a couple of minutes and welcome each other right now. Shake some hands and welcome each other.
All right. As you make your way back to your seats, let's turn also in our hymn books to page 354. 354. Tell me the story of Jesus.
Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed His birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings on earth. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard.
On the last.
Tell of the cross where they nailed Him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid Him. Tell how He liveth again. Love in that story so tender, clearer than ever I see. Stay, let me weep while you whisper, love paid the ransom for me. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard.
Thank you. You may be seated. God's precious treasure, His loved and His own perfect Son, sent here to show me the love of the Father. Yes, just for love it was done. And though you were perfect and holy, you gave up yourself willingly, and you spared no expense for my pardon. You were spilled out and wasted for me. Let's turn to page 249. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. After I'd wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling, with joy I am telling, He made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
On the last, now I've a hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions sublime. And it's because of that wonderful day, when at the cross I believed, riches eternal and blessings supernal from His precious hand I received. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down, and glory filled my soul. Amen. You may be seated.
Amen. Is Carter my helper? All right. We want to acknowledge some special ladies as we would think of Mother's Day. And dear moms, you can stay in your place. I've got somebody to run these things to you, so you can just enjoy that. As usual, I have the difficulty of asking. The first question is always, who the oldest mother in church today? You know, that's a difficult one. You know, you don't want to. But let me ask it this way. Is there a mother here today that is over 90 years of age? There's Miss Lee. Is there anyone else that I'm missing? You see, I'm trying to be careful. Miss Lee, do you mind telling everybody how old you are? 94. Amen. Amen. And if I'm right, sister, your first pastor was J. Frank Norris? Yeah. Amen. That's tremendous. Amen. All right. The second question, a little easier. The newest mother in church today. So I guess that would be the mother with the youngest, the child. Is there a mother here with a child less than 6 months old? We got two, okay. And how old is Lucas? 3 months this week. And Rachel, how old is the baby? He's... Well, I hate to do that away. They certainly weren't born the same day, were they? When was Lucas born? February 12th, and well, Lucas is the youngest. He is the youngest. What can you do? Carter, take that there to Miss Kelsey. Hey, I'm just thankful we got that many babies. Plus, there's others in the church, and some on the way as well. Well, here's a good question. This is one of those motivational questions. This is how much someone loved their mama to travel to come be with them today. The mother with the child that came the farthest to be with her in church today. Is there a child that drove 100 miles to come be with their mama today in church? No, but how about 50 miles? Great. You drove 50 miles, sister? Pardon? 60 miles. Anybody drive more than 60 miles to be with your mother today? This is Betty Mitchell's oldest daughter. Did you say, Miss Betty? Okay. Carter. Miss Betty, can you stand up? And then Mr. Carter will take this to you. Amen. Amen. Well, then we get a little bit more interesting as we go along with it there. The mother with the most children in church with her today. The mother has the most children with her in church today. Now, let me see. Is there somebody here that has more than five children with them in church today? No? Four? Miss Renee has four children with her. Anybody else have four children with them? Amen. Well, Miss Renee, there we go. Miss Renee Davison. You can blame Curtis for this one, okay? This was a write-in question at the bottom of my sheet. The mother that has lived in the most states as a mother. Not as when you're a child, but you've lived in the most states as a mother. Now, I know that sounds kind of complicated, but some of you that were in the military, that may just be right up the alley for you. Anybody that's lived in more than 10 states? 8. 8 states. How about 5 states? Miss Judy has. I thought maybe Miss. Is there another one? 6. Miss. 7. Can you? She was faking. That's good, though. I know a couple of these military wives, and both of these ladies were military wives. Miss Judy, 7 states as a mother, and you survived. Amen. Amen. Indeed, we do. Again, we could go on and find a lot of different things to honor mothers for. I just want to honor all you mothers. And there is a gift for you, a little token of our appreciation. We want to make sure you get on your way out. And we can have a couple young people help us with that. Make sure those mothers get those things today on their way out. Brother Curtis, would you come?
Gentlemen, if you'll take your places, we'll get ready to receive this morning's offering and go over a few announcements while we do. Saturday is the ladies' brunch. The ladies are supposed to be here. It starts at 10 o'clock is when it's starting. But we need some help from you guys. We're asking for the guys to help to show up at 9 o'clock, and we're asking you to wear a uniform, black pants and white shirt. So I think just about everybody who's helped before understands. We'll ask you to be here at 9 o'clock for that. And ladies, is RSVP if you haven't already. And we're asking if you can to go ahead and pay for it this morning so there's not a line at the door come Saturday morning as you try to get in the door for that. So if you can for that. This says... choir practice is at 5:30 tonight. Is that right, John? 5:30 tonight, so a little bit different tonight. So we got some graduations there. You see Adam Vaught and Alexis Lopez and Andrew Martin go by and congratulate them on the graduations coming up here quick like and everything. And let's see, we've got a few activities here. Just take note of that. We had a youth activity coming up, and the home builders having an activity coming up also. So I think that's all the announcements I'm supposed to announce right now at the moment. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. Lord, thank you for just the mothers, Lord, that we get to celebrate a special day for them. Lord, right now we're asking to be the offering about to receive, be the gift and the giver, Lord. Lord, be here to... Please be with the preacher as he comes to declare your word. Give him power on high. You hide him behind the cross, Lord, and please prepare our hearts for it. Ask these things in your name. Amen.
and meek, helping the weak, loving in all that I say. Give me, Lord, a servant's heart. Here's my life, take every part. Give me, Lord, a servant's heart. Let me draw so close to you that your love comes shining through. Give me, Lord, a servant's heart. Give me, Lord, a servant's heart. Make me a witness like you, dear Lord, showing the love of the cross, sharing your word till all have heard, serving whatever the cost. Give me, Lord, a servant's heart. Here's my life, take every part. Give me, Lord, a servant's heart. Let me draw so close to you that your love comes shining through. Give me, Lord, a servant's heart. Give me, Lord, a servant's heart.
Indeed, might that be our prayer, that the Lord would give us such a heart, a heart of a servant indeed, heart that God can honor in that way, as we would seek to humble ourselves as servants indeed. You can be turning, if you will, to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and chapter 3. Look at a few verses there in 2 Timothy. Eventually we'll make our way to 1 Samuel chapter 1 for a moment as well, but when you found your place there in 2 Timothy chapter 1, please stand with me. We would reverence the Word of God. Begin reading in verse 3. And of course, this is the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy. And concerning Timothy's mother and grandmother, as we read here in verse 3. He says, "Thank God whom I serve from..." Excuse me, I'm reading. I'll get it right here. "Thank God whom I serve from my fathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also." Then we read in the third chapter of 2 Timothy in verse 15, where Paul, again, referring to Timothy's childhood, and he says that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Father, we bow before you, thanking you for your word indeed, thanking you that we can come before you today with an open Bible and have a word from you concerning the life that we would seek to live for you. Father, I'd ask you, I'd pray in Jesus' name that you'd grant us your Holy Spirit in such a way that we would sense your presence and your power, that we would have this time with you. We'd hear from you, and not simply a preacher. And so, Father, in that I'd ask you that you would accomplish eternal things, spiritual things. Deal with us right where we're at. Lord, convict where we need to be convicted. Deal with us, reprove us, Father, correct us. And might we have hearts to hear and to respond to You. Pray, Father, for anyone that might be in this room today without Christ, whether it be a young person, an adult, a man or woman, please, Lord, work in that heart. Might they see Jesus. Might they see Him and all that He has done for them through His death, His sacrifice for their sin, that they might be forgiven, redeemed from their sin. We ask this, Father, in Jesus' name and for Jesus' glory. Amen and amen. Of course, you may be seated. Unfortunately, motherhood has fallen on hard times in many places and many circles. And I'm thankful, as we've done this morning, I'm thankful that our church, we take the opportunity to extol the God-honored role of motherhood. Of motherhood. Moms, we love you. We're thankful. God be pleased. Allow us to honor you today. You know, having a godly mother is a tremendous blessing. We pretty much just let our folks talk about that very thing. And in our Sunday school class today, let them talk about their mothers and the place, the part their mothers had in their lives and in their spiritual lives. But having a godly mother is a tremendous blessing that should indeed be highly prized, valued by you, every one of you that had a godly mother. I have just a couple quotes here from some fairly, we might see as some fairly successful men as they spoke of their mothers. This man says, "I learned more about Christianity from my mother than from all the theologians in England." And that's a quote from John Wesley. You might recognize this man after I quote him. He says, "No man is poor who has had a godly mother." No man is poor who has had a godly mother. And you might remember the name of Abraham Lincoln. And then thirdly, a last quote. He says this, this man says this. He says, "I don't believe there are devils enough in hell to pull a boy out of the arms of a godly mother." How a mother would stand between hell and her son. It's a quote from Billy Sunday, the early 20th century evangelist, a fiery evangelist indeed. Be thankful. Be thankful, folks, for a godly mother. And it just may be that the prayers of a godly mother have had more impact to sustain you and to protect you than you'll ever know this side of eternity. It's certainly right, as we've said, to honor mothers, to extol motherhood, and we certainly do. But today, you know, I've had to comment along the way that at Mother's Day, we praise mothers and we extol mothers, and then we come to Father's Day and we let the fathers have it. Well, what I want to do today is to try to challenge and encourage mothers about their opportunity to have an influence on eternity. You say, how can a mother have influence on eternity? Please, please stay with me. As we see in our passage here, we see the priority. The priority of a godly mother. We read there in verse 5. Paul says, "When I call to remembrance, when I remember the unfeigned," or that true, that sincere, that genuine faith that is in thee, Timothy, "which dwelt first," or "before you, Timothy, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and in thy mother Eunice. Paul says, I'm persuaded. I'm convinced. I'm persuaded that in thee, Timothy, also. A faith, a belief in God that this first resided and rested in the heart and bosom of a godly mother and a godly grandmother. Well, let me ask, you know, I'm always asking questions. I love to make tests. I'm going to ask you a question. What should be a mother's priority in bringing up her children? What should be a godly mother's priority in bringing up her children? Should she give herself to bring up her child to be a great success in business or the entertainment world? Should she labor to give the world its next Michael Jordan or Troy Aikman? Should that godly mother devote herself to train up a future president? Well, you'd say, well, preacher, what are you getting at? Well, none of those things are bad in and of themselves at all, and it's obvious. It should be certainly obvious to us that we need some godly leaders in our land in these days. Some God-honoring leaders in our nation. But why? Why should a mother set the bar so low? Why should she set the bar so low for her children? A mother who loves God should give herself to raise children, to bring up children that would come behind her in love with God. That would love God as well. And that they would be prepared for Him, for God to use them as He is pleased to do. Now that may be. That may be in some area of service and in business or government. But beloved, even in those arenas, allegiance to God and His kingdom should be the priority that we invest, that a mother could invest in her children. In Proverbs chapter 31, verse 1, we have an example. Proverbs 31, verse 1. We read in the Word of God where it says, the words of King Lemuel. Again, the words that were recorded there. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. The prophecy, or the Word of God, that his mother taught him. The name Lemuel means for God. It means for God, and many commentators believe that this is referring to King Solomon. And that Lemuel was a pet name, so to speak, that his mother had for him. If that is indeed true, it informs us that Bathsheba had given herself to teach and train her son the Word of God, to prepare him for his service to his people, to the nation of Israel. Well, the priority of a godly mother, I would think, would be to raise her child, to bring up her child, to love God, desire to serve Him. But secondly, we see the practice. The practice of a godly mother, and we turn over to the third chapter there in 2 Timothy, where there we read, as Paul knows Timothy, he's very familiar with Timothy, and he says, and that from a child. And, beloved, that word for child there is the word infant. It is also the word that would be used to describe an unborn child. The child that is still in the womb of its mother. And what does Paul say? From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. You say, well, how could an unborn baby become familiar with the Scriptures? Well, I would dare say that many of you, like Marcia and I, prayed over our babies while they were still in the womb of their mother. I remember kneeling by the side of the bed where Marcia would be laying and praying over those babies. God is able, beloved. to do for our children, even from the womb. And here Paul says that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. And beloved, it is, as we read here, those Holy Scriptures which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Grandma Lois, Mama Eunice had given themselves to so teach, to so bring to bear the Word of God in Timothy's life, that when he came to that place where he's able to understand and heard the gospel, he was wise. He was made wise unto salvation, placing his faith in Jesus Christ as his Savior. As we see as we go along here. When Timothy was young, a child, an infant, they, his mother and his grandmother, had been used of God to share the gospel with him. To prepare the heart of this young man in such a way, as we said, when the time came, he was ready to receive the gospel, the good news concerning Jesus Christ. Then as the Apostle Paul visited his hometown, there was a bonding that took place between this young man and the aged preacher, evangelist, the Apostle Paul. We read in Acts chapter 16, in those first few verses there, Acts 16 verses 1 to 3, says, "Then came he," speaking of Paul, "then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, that was Eunice, and believed." He had a believing mother. "But his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him," speaking of Timothy, "would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they all knew that his father was a Greek." Beloved, along the way, Timothy came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. This was not the first time. Acts chapter 16 is not the first time that Paul and his evangelistic team had been to Lystra. If you go back and on Paul's first missionary journey, he visited the cities of Lystra and Derbe. But while he was in Lystra, God used the Apostle Paul to raise a crippled man back to health and strength. While he was there in Lystra, the religious crowd got upset with him. There was folks that came from Antioch of Pisidia. They came there to Lystra and they stirred up trouble. And Paul was stoned, as the passage says, to the point they believed he was dead. Paul rose up out of the rubble of those stones, went back into the city of Lystra, and along the way, left, made his way to Derbe, came back to Lystra. It may well be there was a young man that witnessed much of that. It may be that young Timothy was in that crowd the day that Paul laid under a pile of rocks and stood up out of them. Timothy witnessed that. Paul returns to Lystra in Acts chapter 16. And there's a bond between this preacher and the young man Timothy. And Timothy becomes an integral part of Paul's ongoing ministry. Timothy was used in a great way. His mama had a part in that. Stick with me. The loving instruction of a godly mother can have far-reaching influence even on eternity. Charles Spurgeon, many of you might be familiar with Charles Spurgeon. He was a great preacher of the mid to late 1800s. But Charles Spurgeon's mother's name was Eliza. And every Sunday evening, she would gather her children around the table, and she would read the Scriptures to them and explain what they meant every day. Then she prayed, and her children never forgot the words of some of those prayers. Listen to this, Mom. Once she prayed, she says, "Now, Lord, if my children go on in their sins, it will not be from ignorance they perish." She could say, she could testify, "I told them the way. I shared with them Jesus." But that's not the end of her prayer. She says, "And my soul must bear swift witness against them at the day of judgment if they lay not hold of Christ." Wow. Charles Spurgeon later wrote in his autobiography, "That thought of my mother's bearing swift witness against me pierced my conscience." She not only made that prayer, she prayed it in front of her children. Wow. How can I ever forget, Charles writes, how can I ever forget when she bowed her knee and with her arms about my neck prayed, "Oh, that my son may live before thee." A prayer of a godly mother. Charles's father, his name was John. He worked for a coal company there in their town of Colchester, England. But John Spurgeon also pastored a church in another town, the town of Tollesbury, and it was 9 miles away. I don't know what that is in kilometers, but it was 9 miles from where they lived and worked. And he'd have to make that trip every Sunday. And one trip, he was going to preach, and he was so convicted about how he was leaving his wife to have to tend to the children's spiritual condition. And here he is out preaching and looking after others, and his wife at home taking up that responsibility. He, on one of those trips, became so convicted he just turned around and went home. He turned around and went home, and when he got to the house, he went up the stairs. There was nobody to be found in the lower part of the house. He went up the stairs, and he got to the top of the stairs. He heard a voice praying behind the bedroom door, the dear voice of his wife. And as he heard her praying for the spiritual needs of their children, and especially for her strong-willed firstborn son, Charles, he was confident that his wife was not neglecting their need. Charles would later testify. He says, "My father felt that he might safely go about his master's business while his dear wife was caring for the spiritual interests of the boys and girls at home." It's a godly mother. The eternity, now listen to this, literally, the eternity of thousands was changed through the ministry of Charles Spurgeon. Thousands, beloved. He preached between 5 and sometimes as many as 20,000 on any given Sunday in the mid-1800s. Thousands of souls' eternity were impacted, may I dare say, by a godly mother. By a godly mother. What about Timothy? What about Timothy? There's some conjecture whether Timothy's father was saved or not. There's no way of knowing. Just not enough information in the Scripture for us to know for sure. If he was not saved, it's not because he didn't have a godly testimony from his wife. She surely lived a godly testimony and a Christ-like testimony. One thing that leads me to believe that he was either saved or had died by Acts chapter 16 and verse 1, is that he makes no objection. I mean, be mindful that the father ruled the home in the day of Timothy and Paul, the first century. But we have no hint that he hindered in any way or tried to keep Timothy from joining Paul's preaching team. So it makes me wonder whether he may have been a saved man or maybe already passed away by this time. But beloved, one thing is for sure. Timothy's ministry had an impact on who knows how many. And even today, his life is an impact on me and on you. A godly mother. A godly grandmother. There have been many, of course, many godly mothers that others can learn from. It would certainly be a wise Christian mother that learns from those that have gone before and done it well. Susanna Wesley, mother of John and Charles Wesley, might be one to learn from, raising two fine preachers like that. Here's six rules. Susanna Wesley's rules for raising children. Six of them. Very simple. Oh my. Please hear these. Number one, subdue self-will in a child. Can I repeat that? Subdue self-will in a child and thus work together with God to save his soul. Prideful, rebellious child will see little need of salvation. Secondly, her second rule, teach him to pray as soon as he can speak. Teach him to pray as soon as he can speak. Thirdly, you listen to this one, moms and dads, listen. Give him nothing he cries for. Give him nothing he cries for, and only what is good for him if he asks for it politely. Did y'all write that down? It's good. To prevent lying, punish no fault which is freely confessed. But never allow a rebellious, sinful act to go unnoticed. Fifthly, commend and reward. Commend and reward good behavior. Okay, good sense. And then lastly, listen. Sixth rule. Strictly observe all promises you have made to your child. Ah. You know what I see in that? Consistent biblical parenting. You can get that. Just Google Susanna Wesley's rules for raising children. I'm sure it'll pop up quickly. The practice of a godly mother. But then thirdly, we see the promise of a godly mother, a promise of a godly mother. And you know, Hannah of the Old Testament of Samuel was an amazing lady indeed. She promises, let me read this, 1 Samuel, and I'm going to read a few verses here, but the first verse I want to read is 1 Samuel 1 and verse 11. And she, speaking of Hannah, she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid. And Hannah's situation was that she'd been childless. She hadn't been able to bear a child. If thou wilt not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. Her promise, her vow to God is my child will belong to you all his life. In verse 22 of that same chapter, verse 22 of 1 Samuel 1, God is pleased to grant Hannah her prayer. And it says in verse 22, but Hannah went not up. And what we have here, the background is that every year her husband, Elkanah, would go up to Shiloh and make the customary sacrifices and so forth and worship to God. Normally, Hannah would make that trip with him. But here in verse 22, it says, but Hannah went not up, for she had said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned. Then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. Verse 27. She says, for this child I prayed. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition when I asked of him. Therefore, also I have lent him unto the Lord as long as he liveth. He shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Again, what an amazing lady. What an amazing lady. She promises, she vows to the Lord that if He would bless her with a son, she'd return him, return that son to Him. And along the way, beloved, along the way, a lot of promises can be made. Huh? In dire straits, we can make many promises to God, can we not? Along the way, many promises are made to God. But here in Hannah's circumstance, God saw past the words of Hannah to her heart. And He acknowledged that her vow was more than simple words. He recognized her genuine expression of a steadfast heart. How do you know that, preacher? Because He granted her request. And by the way, she kept her promise. And gave her son Samuel to God. Samuel may well be one of the greatest prophets, if not the greatest Old Testament prophet. Hannah, a godly mother, had an influence on eternity. Wow. A promise to bring up your child for God should determine how you do that, should it not? A promise to bring up your child for God should determine how you go about doing that. And there's questions we could ask. Beloved, if you have promised to bring up your child in the Lord, would you then in turn bring to bear in their lives things that would contradict that? There's going to be a covenant made, a promise made, that my child's best for God must become my priority. And that what determines all that I do. If you promise to bring up your child for God, are you going to say and do things in front of that child that would contradict that? It's a serious thing, isn't it? Covenant to bring up your child in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. But then lastly, we look at the prayer of a godly mother. The prayer of a godly mother. And you know, the Bible is a book of wisdom, obviously, for life. God's given us. And so often I've heard folks say that we didn't receive a handbook when our children were born. But that's just not true. You most certainly received a handbook on how to raise children. It's called the Bible. Our problem is we're just too lazy many times to seek out and glean that wisdom that God has been pleased to give us in His Word. The Bible is a book of wisdom. It gives us that wise plan for life regardless of your age. Young and old, man or woman, even you young folks. In that wisdom, we learn what God's will is for His creatures. Correct? I think we'd agree with that. Mothers, now listen to me, mothers. If something is taught in the Word of God, does it not then make sense that would be something that would be right, that would be correct to pray for concerning your child? reverse example, of course. But I want to say this first. Please remember. Please remember, dear mothers, if you don't immediately see the answers of your prayers for your children, don't despair. Please don't despair. God's timetable is not always our timetable. Huh? Listen to this. This is a quote from D.L. Moody. He says, "The impression that a praying mother leaves upon her children is lifelong." Charles Spurgeon mentioned that mama that put her arms on his shoulders and praying that he'd walk with God. Never left him. The impression that a praying mother leaves upon her children is lifelong. Perhaps when you, mother, are dead and gone, your prayer will be answered. You'll see, some prayers that we pray in this life, we may not see the fruit of. But don't give up. Don't cease in that prayer. The obvious that we should pray, that every mother, every father should pray for their children, is that they'd be saved. The Bible surely says much concerning that. But even here, as Paul would write to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, it says this, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." God's will that we would come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. Is it wrong then, Mom, that you pray for your child that they be saved? Secondly, she, godly mother, prays for her child's love for God. Her child's love for God. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks in the Gospels, specifically here in Mark chapter 12 and verse 30, where He says, "He gives us all the instruction that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your strength." He says that's the first commandment. Would it not be that a mother should pray that her child would love God with all their heart? Oh, that my child be saved. That my child would fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. Thirdly, quickly, a godly mother will pray for her child's walk with God. His walk with God. In Deuteronomy chapter 13 and verse 4, hear the instruction from our God is that ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear Him. Keep His commandments and obey His voice, and ye shall serve Him and cleave unto Him. Beloved, it is right that you and I would understand who this awesome God is that spoke the universe into existence. There should be a reverence for this God, a godly fear indeed. And in that we would have that desire to live and obey His Word all our life. Is it not right that a mother would pray that their child would walk with God? A godly mother prays for her child's character, her child's integrity. A godly mother prays for her child's character and integrity. In 1 Kings chapter 9, verses 4 and 5, listen to this. There it says, "If thou wilt walk before me," and again, this is God talking to Solomon, "if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, in the integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to David thy father." Oh, that every Christian mother, every Christian parent would pray that their child would be a person of integrity. Huh? Do you know what I mean by that? To raise up a child that their desire is
that you what they say you can believe. A person of integrity, that their yea is yea and their nay is nay. Oh, how we desperately need folks of integrity and character in this present time. But then, and again, we could go on all the rest of the day in this, but just one more. Godly mother. Godly mother prays for a child's testimony in the world. Do you care about what again, this may sound wrong, but I think you understand what I mean by it. Do you care what the world thinks of your child? In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, familiar words, beloved. Here the Lord Jesus Christ says these simple things. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Huh? Our testimony should be important. Our testimony, I'll say this, our reputation to the world is important. My reputation, your reputation, reputation is a reflection on our Father, our Heavenly Father. And I dare say that a godly mother will pray for their child, that their testimony would be such that God would use that testimony in this world. You and I, we'd have a hard time this morning. It's cloudy outside, a little dark. If we killed all these lights, we wouldn't hardly be able to see in here. It'd be dark and shadowy. To turn the light on and things can be seen. Beloved, my prayer. Mama, your prayer should be for your child. That they, listen, that they bring light where they go. That they bring the light of the Word of God and the God and Savior of this Word where they go. Shouldn't that be a godly mother's prayer? That my child would shine in a sin-darkened world for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we could say a lot of things. This world needs more than anything else is the people of God to shine for Him. And this old white hair on my head tells me that my days of shining for Jesus are growing fewer. I got daughters. I want them to live for God. I sent my daughters a text this morning thanking the Lord for their mother, but also for the mothers of my grandchildren. I'm just thankful that those three girls are trying. They're living to raise up their children for the glory of God. You've got grandchildren, many of you. You have children. My prayer is that godly mothers in this room can have an influence on eternity. You don't know that you may have raised, you may have brought up a son, a daughter, and served God in an amazing way. Hey, it may be that that son or daughter that you brought up is going to bring up the next Spurgeon, the next Billy Sunday, the next Paul or Timothy, that would impact eternity and the saving of souls, the proclaiming of the gospel. Don't measure your life by what you see today. God's still writing the story. Let's stand together. Father, we bow before You. Lord, I thank You for Jesus today. Thank You, Father, for Your mercy to us through Him. Oh, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, that beautiful, lovely name, that You'd, encourage, challenge dear mothers in this room today. Lord, I thank You for them. Thank You for all that they are, what they can be in Jesus. I thank You, Father, for the potential. That these women, these godly mothers, can have on eternity. Oh God, please. Please, oh Lord, help them, help every one of us to be a godly influence on the generations that follow us. Lord, I'm praying today. I don't know. There may well be that there's a mama in this room today that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. Lord, I'm praying that You might be pleased. Touch her heart right now. Help her to see that Jesus died for her. Died that she could be forgiven of sin and made right with You. Oh, God, please. Father, I'm praying for husbands in this room, maybe husbands that are yet without Christ and yet today realize they need Jesus Christ. Lord, please, please help them to understand that right now they can put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Lord. Father, I pray for young people, children, young men, young women in this room today. Lord, in reality, this message is about them. Lord, I'm praying that for moms indeed, that they can have that influence, an eternal influence. Father, I pray that You'd take young people so to their hearts the treasure, the privilege of having a godly mother. A mother that loved You and did her best to pass You on to her children. Lord, I pray, oh God, stir in those hearts. Renew and refresh. Lord, revive in them a love for their God, for their Savior, Jesus. Lord, we'll surely give You the glory for every bit of it. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Brother John, you have a song for us.
Page 118.
Folks, these altars are open. Whatever the need might be, please obey the Lord. Please do what He'd have you to do today.
Obey. I need Thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like Thine can peace afford. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour, stay Thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when Thou art nigh. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to Thee.
During invitations, I like to let the Holy Spirit do what He wants to do. But Mom, it's not too late. It's not too late to commit right now, today, to live for God. To renew and refresh a commitment to Him to do for your children as you should. Don't worry about yesterday. You can't do anything about it, but you put it under the blood. But you can commit and consecrate today and the rest of the days of your life to live for God. To be that eternal influence in your children's lives. Please obey Him. Please simply do what the Lord would say to you to do. Obey Him. As we sing.
I need Thee every hour in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, for life is vain. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour, most Holy One. Oh, make me Thine indeed, Thou blessed Son. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to Thee.
You know, just a couple of weeks ago, we preached on the subject of child raising, child rearing, and I had the baby dedication for little Lucas. And the challenge there that was on my heart was to instill how desperately children today, forgive me, if ever today, need parents that will consecrate themselves to raise their children for Christ. The world wants to devour your children. Satan wants to destroy them. And doing his best. Please, please, please. Mom, Dad, promise between yourselves and God, you're going to raise your children for Christ. Please. They need you. They need you. Do you fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ? They can see a mama and a daddy that love God more than anything else in this world. Oh, that we have parents today that would raise their children before Christ and for His glory and their good. God grant it. Love you, Brother John.
Let's be dismissed with our chorus. It's Doxology. It's inside your bulletin and apparently on the screen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
You're dismissed.